today's Bible reading comes from Matthew chapter 22, verses 1 to 14. If you're reading one of the black Bibles from the church, it can be found on page 691. So that's Matthew chapter 22, verses 1 to 14. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. So go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find.' So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. He asked, 'How did you get in here without wedding clothes, friend?' The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, 'Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen.'" This is the word of the Lord.
Hello?
Yeah.
Cool.
All right, give me a sec. I'm probably going to take off this blazer at some point because it's really hot. But I'm wearing it for props. Cool. Sick. All right. Sorry, I'm going to steal the fan as well. Your boy gonna sweat. What can I say? Huh? Oh, yeah, cool. Thanks. All right. Cool, 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 cool. That work? Yeah, boy. All right. For those of you that don't know me, my name's Terrence. I'm one of the regulars here at Grace Point, and I've got the privilege of preaching to us today. So, weddings. I love weddings. I don't know if you guys have been to one before or been to many, but last Saturday, one of my good high school friends, Ivan, who's actually the guy that got me into Christianity, he got married. And I had the privilege of attending both the ceremony and the reception, and it was truly a beautiful wedding. And it's quite funny how, I guess these days, being invited to the reception is kind of like this holy grail of privilege. Probably because of financial costs and, you know, it's a more select kind of invite, it's a lot more smaller, low-key, so therefore, I get it. But it's funny how much a reception invite actually means to people these days. You know, I know there are people here, I won't name and shame, that if they're not invited to the reception, they won't even show up to the ceremony. And so the invite to the reception or the wedding feast is truly a really coveted thing. But whilst I was at both the events, there were a few things that really caught my attention. Let alone it being an absolutely monumental moment in both Ivan and Vanessa's life, it was a beautiful day because it was a great time for Ivan and Vanessa to bring together loved ones from all aspects of their lives and celebrate with them this monumental moment. So though it was a privilege to receive an invite, the event really showed a large variety of different people from different areas of life. It was truly a celebration with many. Secondly, despite it being a 9:30 a.m. wedding, people were actually super punctual. You know, there were at least over 200 people in the church hall, and everyone was there and seated by 9:15 a.m. as requested. And lastly, seeing everyone dressed up nicely and dolled up was, you know, really beautiful. Not just from an aesthetic standpoint, but because it was different. Especially, I guess, for those that I knew personally, such as my high school boys. So in the bottom photos, essentially, it literally felt like a high school reunion, you know. And I guess it was beautiful because it was different. You know, seeing everyone dressed up so nicely. Some of the guys there, I literally haven't seen them in 9 years. So the last time I saw them, we were still wearing school uniforms. You know, some of them, last time I saw them, they were shirtless. So, you know, the fact that we were there enjoying Ivan and Vanessa's wedding together, dressed up for the occasion, it was nice. It was beautiful. And so I guess it's really these observations that I want to point out and come back to later as we delve into today's passage and see the correlation between the two and also how it impacts us as Christians. And even if you're not a Christian, it affects you as well. But before we do that, let me pray. So please bow your heads and pray with me. Heavenly Father, Lord, thanks for the chance to go through your word today. Give us clear minds and hearts as we process what you're saying to us today through your word, and help us to understand its impact in our lives. Amen. Sick. All right. So before I jump into today's passage, I think it would be helpful to start with some context, to really just paint the picture of where we're at in the Bible. Clem and Danny, the past 2 weeks, have been going through parables, and it's kind of the same thing here. But I guess for those of you that weren't here for the past 2 weeks, essentially Jesus is traveling towards Jerusalem, and as he does so, opposition of his teaching increases. He is tested by the Pharisees, and as soon as he begins to move towards the city, and when he arrives, he's soon in conflict with the temple's traders and religious leaders. And so he's teaching in the temple and debating with these chief priests and religious leaders and speaking in parables to them about the kingdom of God and the failings of these chief priests and these Pharisees. For those of you that don't know what a parable is, it's kind of like an analogy. It's a succinct, didactic kind of story, so it means that there's instructional or informative qualities to it. And that really brings us to today in chapter 22, where Jesus uses another parable, a very interesting one, to teach to these people. So to summarize, the first 5 verses, we read that the kingdom of heaven is compared to that of a king who's holding a wedding feast for his son. The wedding feast preparations are done, and so the king sends out the messengers to invite, or in a way remind them, to come on through. But instead, the invited don't come, or more accurately, won't come as a result of other priorities in their life. Verses 6 to 7, to add kind of further insult to injury, the scene turns a bit violent and a bit ridiculous. Not only was the invitation rejected, but some of the servants were shamefully treated and killed. And as ridiculous as the situation is, it can be pointed out that to refuse a king's wedding invitation in that time was basically the equivalent of political insubordination. So let alone the rejection of a privilege and honor to attend the son's wedding feast, the invited kind of just screwed themselves over by further shaming the king by mistreating and killing the messengers. And so the king responds in kind and in judgment by sending his army. He destroys the murderers and he burns their city. Verses 8 to 10, I guess with all the outrageousness that's just gone on, the king states that the wedding must go on. And so the feast is ready, but due to the lack of worth of those that were originally invited, they've missed their opportunity. And so as a result of the rejections, the king sends his servants to the main roads, and he extends the invitation to all. And this succeeds in drawing in all kinds of people, both good and bad. And then finally, in the final 3 verses, and so in the climax of this parable, the hall is filled with guests. The food is flowing, the celebrations are well and truly underway. Yet amongst all the festivities, we read that the king spots a man who was not wearing wedding garments or wedding clothes. He questions him as to how he got in, and the man is speechless. You know, like one of those kind of, I have no idea what to say, you know, I've done something wrong, I can't even defend myself kind of moments. And so as a result, the man is tied up and thrown into the darkness outside. And then the king's punchline and reminder for the end of this parable is, "For many are called, but few are chosen." Okay, so that's a pretty wild story with a whole bunch of twists and turns throughout. But as I mentioned earlier, this is a parable. And like all parables told by Jesus, all of them are meant to include lessons to be taken away. And so as we look deeper at this parable, we remember that in verse 2 that this parable compares the king's wedding feast to the kingdom of heaven. And so like any feast, party, or event, you're either invited or you're not. But more importantly, I want to highlight a few key kind of tips or even observations from this parable, which I think are very relatable to our own lives, especially those of us that call ourselves Christians. So tip number one. Sorry, I used the blue font. I shouldn't have used the blue font, so I'm sorry if you can't read it. But what it says is tip number one, don't double book. Get your priorities straight. So the first response I want to highlight is the rejection of the second invitation that I'm talking about in verses 3 and 4 from those who had already RSVP'd and said yes. Now, in some other versions of the Bible, you know, I think Lee said banquet. Some other versions use feast. But regardless, the term banquet was essentially a grand feast. It provided for entertainment for a company of guests, normally for great celebrations like weddings. Large wedding feasts went on for days, and this feast, therefore, was just the beginning of a fairly prolonged activity. By verse 13, I'm not sure if you guys picked up on the night kind of quote, but by verse 13, the celebration has continued into the night. So we can see from the term invited in verse 3 that the invites for this feast had already been sent out. And so this means that the preparations were already in motion and the event was locked in. And because those who were invited would already have received and accepted an earlier invite, it was customary then to send the messengers out again to tell them when the meal was ready. And it's this second invite that we read in verse 3, but also graciously repeated by the king in verse 4. He even adds kind of descriptions to kind of really sway these people to come through, you know, prepared dinner, oxen and fat calves, you know, that sort of luxury, you know, in that time. Everything's ready, come on through. But then those that were invited, they rejected the invite for selfish reasons, mundane reasons, their own reasons. They paid no attention and went off to other things, such as attending and looking after their businesses or their farms, a mixture of responsibilities and duties which they clearly valued more than the invite from the king. Their double refusal, therefore, is going back on their previous promise, you know, when they said that they would come. They insult the king, whose invitation is both an honor and a command, and the marriage of whose son is a time for special joy. And so knowing that this parable is meant to compare the kingdom of heaven to the feast, the king here would be God, and his son is Jesus, as he is commonly represented as a bridegroom throughout the Bible. The events that we see here from... Sorry, if you can't read that, I'll try and run you through it as I go. The events that we see here from the refusal to attend is very comparable to the events that were ongoing earlier on in the book of Matthew. Like those that were invited to the feast, Israel, they held the invitation to the kingdom of heaven as God's chosen people. But when the time came for them to accept this kingdom, when the kingdom was appearing, aka Jesus, which we read in Matthew chapter 3 verse 1, they refused to believe it. Many prophets, such, you know, prophets are God's messengers, such as the famous John the Baptist, as a result had been murdered. You know, Matthew 14 verse 10 is where we read of John's beheading. So there are different references to what the king's retaliation against the murderers can be interpreted as, but some refer to the prophecy of Jerusalem's destruction, so Jerusalem being, you know, the city of God's people, destruction at the hands of the Romans. Other people that have looked into this parable have said that, no, the prophecy here is more broad and it speaks of, I guess, God's judgment in the book of Revelation. Because as stated in Obadiah 1:15, God is patient, but he will not tolerate wickedness forever. His judgment will come upon those who reject his offer of salvation, especially when you take into account the cost of Jesus' life. And so, if you kind of marry what we're reading in the parable to what we know in the Old Testament, you can see that the similarities are like crazy. You know, it's so accurate and almost mirrored. And so note that, once again, it's not because the guests could not come to the wedding, it's that they would not come. Everyone had an excuse. Everyone had a distraction. Now, how indicative of human nature, you know, to be offered the blessings of God and to refuse them because of the draw of what the world has to offer. You know, things that will satisfy you now, but not forever. And so I guess for those of you today that are Christians, this is a great chance for you to really ask yourself, you know, like those that were invited to the wedding feast and the Israelites who were invited to the kingdom originally, will you also buckle when the time comes and when Jesus returns. Like those in the parable, is your life bogged down by other priorities that take away the priority of the gospel in your life? Because if you're not committed to the invite, which you've already accepted, if you call yourself a Christian, like those in the parable, don't expect any favors from the king for your uncommitted attitude. So don't expect to be deemed worthy for prioritizing something else above, you know, the invitation to the kingdom. Sorry, lost my spot. All right, so the invited in the parable, they were distracted by their farms and businesses, things that they had been blessed with, and really to own a farm or a business in that time would be an expensive asset to have, knowing that they're a source of income and revenue. And so like the parable, it's very easy for us to also relate to this example, knowing that we too have been quite blessed, especially living in Sydney, Australia, from homes to educations to jobs. These are all things that are not only expensive, but blessings in our own lives. But like those in the parable, we're also called to not take these for granted and to work diligently in all those respective environments. But when push comes to shove, and when it's time to commit to the call that you've accepted as a Christian, will you make the same mistake as those in the parable, preoccupied by these idols that the very blessings have become in our own lives? It's kind of like, have you ever planned a party and nobody came? Or people come and stay just for a short time because you know that they have something better to be doing? Or have you actually helped plan a party for a sibling or a close friend, and you see his or her disappointment when people don't come or they kind of bail last minute? It's something like that in the gospel story today. The wedding feast that we've been invited to is a big one. It's an important one. And we've not only had the privilege of being invited, and if you're a Christian, you've already accepted the invite. So my first tip and encouragement is to don't double book. If there's ever a time to stop and to look at whether or not you're double booking the gospel with other idols in your life, now's the time. You know, prioritize accordingly and come through. It's kind of like those that attended Ivan and Vanessa's wedding last week. They upheld the RSVP'd. They were not only invited, but and they actually showed up on time. And so that's my tip number one for you guys. Because, and so, in a way, this second wedding invite was rejected, the invitation is then, we read, extended to everyone and anyone. Total strangers, both good and bad. And so the comparison here links strongly to, I'm not sure if I wrote it as the final point. The comparison in the parable links actually very strongly to what we read, where because the Jews rejected the gospel is then extended to everyone, you know, the Gentiles. And so that builds nicely into my second observation and tip, and that is to dress appropriately, you know, respect the invite and the occasion. And so I guess because the invite was extended to everyone in the parable, we reach the end of the parable where the party is booming and the king notices a man who's not wearing the appropriate wedding garment, you know, and attire. And as a result, he gets kicked out into the darkness. And here we find tip number two, you know, dress appropriately, respect the invite and occasion. In those times, a wedding garment is not a special type of garment, but the clean clothes, preferably white, which would normally be worn on a special occasion. Whether one is good or bad, there is an appropriate attire for a wedding feast. So to come in dirty clothes is an insult to the host in a special occasion. So this prompts the question, how a man that just got brought in from the street could have the opportunity to go home and to change. The thing is, when I was looking into this, there was a lot of different analysis and commentaries, and ultimately, one of them stated from St. Augustine, some of you might know, who's a famous early theologian, he deduced that the king provided wedding garments at the door, and the man rejected to wear them. But the point is actually not the specifics of how the man could have gotten changed or how he could have worn the wedding garment, but it's the fact that he didn't. And so the lesson here is that though entry to God's salvation has called many and is open, it's not without standards or to be taken lightly. As generous and as open-ended, as God's invitation is, it's not to be exploited or taken for granted. The man's speechlessness in the parable proves he knows that he's guilty. Even though the king gently calls him friend, in view of the guests that have been invited, both good and bad, it's difficult to believe that the wedding clothes symbolize righteousness. Rather, the clothes aren't your key to entering, but rather they're a symbol for you to stay in the party. So let me just repeat that one more time. So the wedding garments are not your key to entering the party. Rather, if you're at the party and you're committed, the wedding garments are proof and a good reason why you deserve to stay. And it's because you've taken the invite seriously. And so I guess as a result, and building off the first tip that I was talking about, without an appropriate change of life, which characterized, you know, the old Israel when we were looking at the comparison, the new people of God, you know, us, can't make the same mistake. It's not necessarily about what the garment represents specifically in the life. You know, some people like saying, is it repentance? Is it justification? Is it like a particular amount of works that you're doing? It's not about the specifics with the wedding garment. It's simply a life that's appropriate to God's new people. One that takes into consideration how special the invite is and respectfully prepares for it. So without this garment or attitude that we should have, there can be no guarantee or security that we will stay in the party. And like the man, if we don't put on the correct clothes, we too will be thrown out into the darkness. And so for us as Christians here today, this is a pretty harsh reminder that just because you call yourself a Christian doesn't necessarily mean that you've secured your spot in the kingdom. You know, a couple of weeks ago, Clement, he walked us through the parable of the workers in the vineyard, where we looked at the generosity of the landowner. And as a result of the generosity that is just too good to be true, we're called to accept it with humility and gratefulness. Last week, Danny kind of continued building off that, and he took us through the parable of the two sons and the parable of the tenants. And in particularly, he linked that these two parables, he linked them to the implication of Jesus' death and resurrection. And to be a Christian, you must grasp how costly the grace of God is, and as a result, if you are to accept it humbly and gratefully, if you are to accept it, you must also grasp how costly it is for us as well. Costly repentance. That was Danny's point. The same point can be made this week. If we are going to accept the invite and be a Christian, we need to respect the privilege that comes with it. We accept it with gratefulness and humility, especially as we look at the costly grace involved. And as a result, we need to all, as Christians, dress accordingly. And that means a life changed and lived for Him, one of costly repentance. This also ties into the start of the sermon when I was talking about Ivan and Vanessa's wedding and how nice it was to see so many people that I knew all dressed up and dolled up. And it's nice because it shows how much people respected the event and the celebration. They went above and beyond, knowing the privilege and importance of the wedding and reception. Another famous theologian, John Calvin, he was a very influential theologian to the Christian faith, especially in the 1500s. And when he looked at this parable, he broke it down like this. He stated, "As to the wedding garment, is it faith or is it a holy life? This is a useless controversy. For faith cannot be separated from good works, nor do good works proceed from any other source than from faith. Christ intended only to state that the Lord calls us on to express condition of our being renewed by the Spirit, and that in order to our remaining permanently in this house, we must put off the old man with his pollutions and lead a new life." And so what John Calvin is saying here is that, you know, brothers and sisters, the wedding feast is an open invitation, but there is a dress code. Everyone is welcome to come through and to celebrate and to join in. But the thing is, if you're going to come, you need to dress accordingly. You need to prepare. You need to grasp how important that invite is and what that means for us. And so, I guess to keep to the imagery of the parable, it changes our clothes. And if it doesn't, then are we truly guests of the kingdom of heaven? Have we truly accepted it, or are we just like wedding crashers? And we don't belong inside the party, but rather we deserve to be thrown out away from the laughter and away from the light. So I guess for those of you that call yourself a Christian, I want to ask you, have you understood the gravity of your acceptance? Are you dressed appropriately in your life currently in response to this privileged invite? Living a new life, one of costly repentance, with gratefulness and humility. The last tip that I wanted to flag is actually just the last verse of the parable, where I know in some versions it says, many are called, few are chosen, and then I guess in, I think, the NIV it says, many are invited, few are chosen. Regardless, the point is the same. The four that's used in this verse introduces a conclusion explaining the parable, and actually the past two parables that Danny covered last week that we've been looking at. And that is, if we look at this parable, those who went to their farm and their businesses had been called, but were not chosen. And even among those that were called in from the streets, we see that there was one man who, in the end, was also not chosen, despite his response to the invitation to attend. Many are invited, but some refuse to come. And others who do come refuse to submit to the norms of the kingdom and are therefore rejected. At the same time, it's clear from all three parables, the ones that Danny talked about last week and this week's one, that it's not about the beginning, but the end that's crucial. And so the message of the verse in the parable of the sower that we've read before, truly it's a reminder that anything can happen and that anyone can slip between initial response, you know, initial RSVP to say yes, and ultimate fruitfulness. What am I saying here? So think back to Ivan and Vanessa's wedding. I stated that part of what made the event such a beautiful and momentous one for the couple was that it was a gathering of loved ones from all aspects of their lives, you know, handpicked and invited by them. And so no doubt that amongst these invited, there were also those that couldn't make it either. And so as a result, the ceremony and reception was truly a case of many being invited, but only a few chosen, a few that were there at the very end. And so the observation that I really want to point out today is the importance of making it to the end. You know, the past two points that I've made have been so much about what you guys do, your attitudes, how you react. But as you guys probably have heard before as Christians, the Christian life is a marathon. It's the long-term game. We're all relatively young here, and God willing, we've got a lot more years ahead of us to live. And with the world at our feet, living the Christian life till the end won't be easy. I myself have seen my fair share of close friends walk away from Christianity and Jesus for various reasons, and it's broken my heart every single time. And so I guess for all of us here, accepting the invite is important. Turning up is important. Dressing appropriately is important. It all adds up, you know, to as we prepare for the wedding feast that is to come. But it would be an absolute shame and almost a bit of a waste if we didn't make it to the celebrations. Whether it be because we are distracted and captivated by what the world has to offer, and as a result we lose our commitment to the invite, or whether we water down the privilege that is to be a Christian and to be invited and the importance of this invitation. And so as a result, like the man in the parable, we're not living life accordingly. We're not dressed accordingly. You know, not living lives, I guess, ultimately that reflect, as Danny put it, costly repentance. And so I guess, my friends, many are invited, but few are chosen. And my warning and my encouragement for you guys is that I really hope I see you guys there at the finish line, because we've got a lot of Christian living to do, and it would be a real shame if you guys weren't there on the day. And so I guess to close, it's crazy that in 14 verses, you know, Jesus' parable is able to show us so much. The parable of the wedding feast in today's gospel was spoken when Jesus saw that his own people were moving to reject him. The very people who should have celebrated, you know, him coming, instead rejected him, bringing judgment upon themselves. And so the story in itself is symbolic, but the invitation to us is a real one. The guests, all types. Criteria, it's not an ethical one. It's not about being good or being bad. Everyone's invited, but rather it's a matter of what is called an eschatological insight. And what that means, eschatology means living with the end in mind. And so the criteria here to be invited is not whether you're good or bad. We're all invited. What matters is the ability to recognize the urgency and the importance of the invitation. I guess further, a wedding can be a metaphor for the relationship between God and Israel, and a banquet is a sign of the covenant that he had with them. You know, worthiness thus involves being able to recognize the king's wedding banquet for what it is. In our case, it's an invitation to heaven. And in responding to it as our top priority. You know, every one of them is dressed up appropriately. You know, they took the trouble to follow the dress code, and this shows respect to the host, except, you know, for the unfortunate man who did not. And so, brothers and sisters, I want to prayerfully encourage you guys to take a moment now to look at yourselves. If you've accepted the invite to the wedding feast that is to come, are you preparing yourself for it? Are you committed to the event? Avoiding any double bookings in your life? Pushing aside idols and temptations for the sake of the gospel? Are you dressed appropriately? Living changed lives? Of costly repentance and that are a result of humbly and gratefully accepting this invitation? You know, are you prioritizing spiritual disciplines like his word or prayer so that the gospel can overflow in all areas of your life? The way you evangelize, the way you love, the way you serve others, whether it be family, friends, in your marriages, in your relationships, in your universities, in your workplaces, even the way you play sport. Are you living a life that is dressed appropriately? And so lastly, many are invited, but few are chosen. Are you committed to... Should I keep talking? All right, cool. And lastly, many are invited, but few are chosen. As a Christian, are you committed to finishing the race and actually being there on the day when it counts? Because the Christian faith is as urgent as it is, it's a long-term game. And it would be an absolute travesty if any of you fell short of the day of the wedding feast and the celebrations that are to come. And I guess also for those of you that are not Christians or joining us for the first time or are seeking, I guess today's message wasn't meant to scare you off. If anything, I hope it has encouraged you to see how valuable it is. And as a result, we're not here to shove anything down your throat or to rush you to make your decision. We're prayerfully hoping that you take your time to take this search seriously. There's no doubt that a lot of questions are probably involved as you find out more about Christianity and what it is and what this invitation I keep talking about is. But if you do want to chat, you know, feel free to grab me after the sermon or chat to, you know, any of the friends that brought you here or any of the regulars here. Ultimately, it's a big decision. And it's an important one. You know, the celebrations will happen, the wedding is on, and you're invited. And so for us as Christians, we'd love to have you there. So as the music team comes up to lead us in the response songs, let me pray and close. So please bow your heads. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for speaking to us today through Jesus' parable in Matthew 22. Thank you for the open invitation to the kingdom, demonstrated through your costly grace in Jesus' death and resurrection. For those of us that call ourselves Christians, Lord, I do pray that we may remember the humility and gratefulness that comes with being a Christian, that as we do so, may we then respond accordingly, not double booking other idols in our lives, but as a result, living changed lives that reflect costly repentance. And if it is in your will, may you spur us and drive us to run this race so that we may finish it and enjoy this wedding feast together. For those of us that are not Christians, Lord, we do pray that today's sermon can show us, can show them also not only the privilege of the invite, but the importance of taking the decision seriously. May today have been a helpful step forward for those seeking to understand what Christianity is all about, as we pray that if it's in your will and timing, that they too will see the gravity and value in accepting it. So Lord, we pray for all this humbly in your Son's name. Amen.